Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to the radio program, Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We're here every Monday through Friday from 10:05 to 11:30 Central Time. I know that 10:05 is grammatically incorrect because it's not a letter, it's a number. But nobody says 10:05 that I know. Do you know?
No.
Would people even know what you're talking about?
The military would say 10:00, right?
Right.
10:05.
Yeah, 10:05.
But nobody says that. I mean, if you were to say, hey, I'll be back to pick you up at 10:06, nobody, you know, people would go, well, what is he talking about? So, it's 10:05 to 11:30 Central Time right here on American Family Radio every Monday through Friday. We hope you had a great Christmas celebration with your family. And we're looking forward to New Year's Day. And I'm looking forward to the college football action this weekend, which will include the, Monday, which will include the playoffs between Georgia and Oklahoma and Alabama and Clemson. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman and Steve Jordahl, a native of California.
Yes, grew up there.
With us, grew up there. Yeah. When you've heard California referred to in many ways.
Yes, most of them accurate in some sense. Yes.
Does it? If I say the land of fruits and nuts.
Yes, I've heard that often.
You've heard that?
Yes, I have.
Is that offensive to you as a native Californian?
Not to me. It's kind of a little ring of truth to it to me that would probably be offensive to some people.
What's the best quality about California, would you say?
I love California for...
Yeah, fill in that blank. That's a great question. I love California because blank, says Steve Jordahl, native of California.
First off, because my family lives there. Second off, because of the weather.
Okay.
Just ideal. And the beauty. Mm-hmm. The weather. Natural beauty.
Okay. And you could say, because they fill in the blank, I love California because they feed the country.
They do feed a lot of the country. Mm-hmm. Yes.
The Central Valley.
I lived there for 7 years.
30% of our food.
Yep.
Okay.
So fruits, right?
Most they do fruits. Have some fruits, peaches and...
The governor.
And nuts. They have nuts there.
Right.
The South grows a lot of beans and corn.
Yeah. Southern part of the United States, yeah. You mean?
They grow a lot of vegetables over on the coast.
In the Midwest, our Midwest, you know, the breadbasket, you know, Nebraska, Kansas.
People don't realize it, but we feed other countries, too.
Yeah.
We export food to other countries.
You know, a state that most people identify as industrial that's more rural? And is Ohio. Hmm. Ohio is big corn country.
Sure.
Am I right, Devin? Devin hails from the enemy of Ohio, which is Michigan. but he does give credit to Ohio, don't you, Devin, on production of a lot of... you grew up in Ohio. Talk to us, Devin. Put your mic on just a minute. I got to ask you a question.
Devin's turn.
Devin operates our control board. He's a behind-the-scenes guy, so I'll put him on the spot here. Now, you grew up in Ohio, but
Northwest
you're...
Ohio.
Northwest, oh, yes, you're a Michigan.
I was born in Michigan and was raised in Ohio, and as soon as I was old enough to leave home, I moved back to southern Michigan.
Now, keep in mind what you're about to say. We have a lot of Ohio supporters who write checks to American Family Radio, so please don't.
The Lima, Ohio area.
You're from the Lima. But how is it you became a Wolverine?
The time
you spent in Michigan?
Family and...
Okay.
Just,
but there's probably a lot of that between Ohio and Michigan.
Yeah.
Going back and forth.
Oh, yeah. A lot of split households there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
gotcha.
A lot of both, but I was always a Michigan fan.
But am I right? Ohio, I don't know about Michigan, but Ohio.
Yeah. A lot of
Ohio
wheat,
has a
wheat,
lot of agriculture.
Corn, soybeans.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My family.
But most people think of
farms.
Ohio, they think of, you know,
Cleveland.
Industry.
And
Columbus, Cincinnati.
And steel country and. You know, Cleveland.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And Cincinnati and Columbus.
Right.
Big university town. But actually, you go out there, it's a lot of corn, you said? And
corn, wheat, soybeans.
Right, mm-hmm. right. So, but yeah, Walker, but now the Central Valley, back to the Central Valley.
Of California, yeah.
Of California, the fruits and vegetables that they're able to grow there because of the climate is like, you know, unlike any other place in America with the possible exception of Florida.
Right.
And also the reason being is that at one point in time, the Central Valley of California had a lot of sediment. It does have a lot of sediment in it. It's a very fertile ground as well. Mm-hmm. Not just the climate.
Good soil.
The soil is fantastic for growing stuff.
Well, speaking of Ohio, if we have any listeners that enjoy deer hunting in Ohio, I'll be glad to go up there on a work trip. Because they have some big deer up in Ohio, Kansas, probably Michigan. A lot of deer.
A lot of big deer in that part of the country.
Yeah, yeah. And we have some big deer in South Mississippi, but yeah, up there, man, they have big, big deer. They're known for their white tail.
I just put a PETA alert on this.
They're grain fed up there.
Why would they be bigger there than somewhere else?
Because they eat that corn I'm talking about.
All the corn and wheat in the fields.
Yeah. And a lot of it's flat.
It's a lot milder flavor in the meat as well.
Yeah,
it's a much better venison in the northern part of Ohio.
Because it's cooler, too, I think.
Yeah, so, and we have...
Oh, you think? Is that because...
The grain fed.
Yeah, grain fed, yeah.
Yeah, we have a lot of hills here in North Mississippi. I mean, we're not the Appalachian Mountains, but we have hill country here.
Right.
And so the deer going up and down those hills, they don't tend to weigh as much or be as big because of all the hills.
Are you saying Ohio deer are fat?
Exactly. They're fat, which is a good thing. And so,
good thing if you're chasing them.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're saying if somebody were to extend to you a free trip to come hunting.
Yeah, on behalf of today's issues, I could give an update on my trip.
Okay, you're willing to go to.
Someone has to do it, right? Well, no, not actually.
To Ohio or Michigan or somewhere like that. Well, you're listening to American Family Radio. Thus, we're talking about America right here on AFR. All right, Steve Jordahl, tell us what's happening in the news.
So, Tim, are you done with Christmas yet? Is it over for you? Because I have one more item.
Well, I got golf balls to last a year, so I'll be thinking about Christmas till next year.
I've got one more story. This is from the Grinch Files.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Over the Christmas holiday, one... Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, decided to greet our military folks with a Christmas message. It sounded something like this.
Merry Christmas, everyone. From my family in Janesville to all of yours, I hope you have a fantastic holiday season with family and friends. And I hope you're looking forward to a prosperous 2018. We're so lucky in this country to celebrate Christmas during a time of peace, and we all owe our men and women in uniform an enormous debt of gratitude for what they do to keep us safe. You know, 2 weeks ago, I sent an email out asking you to write back a quick message honoring our troops and wishing them happy holidays. I hope everyone has a great holiday season and takes some time to truly appreciate how blessed we are as a country. Thanks so much, and again, Merry Christmas.
He went ahead and read some of those. I cut that out of this. Well, one Rosie O'Donnell didn't like that very much. Rosie O'Donnell, who was the same one who had offered to pay $2 million to two Republican senators if they would vote no on the tax bill, she tweeted back, "Paul Ryan, don't talk about Jesus after what you just did to our nation. You will go straight to hell," she says. "You messed up, fake altar boy." And then she hashtagged it, "Judas much?" Well, leave it to Franklin Graham to take the high road. Franklin Graham replied to her tweet, "Rosie, you don't have the keys to hell, but I know the one who does, and I can tell you who will be there. Hell is going to be filled with people who rejected God's offer of salvation and turned their backs on his laws and standards, refusing to repent. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, and he took your sins and mine to the cross, dying in our place so that we might live. If we turn from our sins and put our faith in him, I hope one day you will put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and let him heal your heart, clean up your mouth, and forgive your sins. Do that today. You'll never regret it." That from
thank you, Franklin Graham.
Franklin Graham to Rosie O'Donnell.
To Rosie O'Donnell, yes. Directly addressed to her.
Mm-hmm. Now, she's good friends with President Trump, isn't she?
Oh, she must. Every other day she goes over for dinner at the Trump Mar-a-Lago, I think. Yeah, no, she's not a fan.
Okay.
Not a fan.
But is he a fan of hers?
You never know what he's thinking.
I think the feelings are mutual there.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Probably is. But
mutual disrespect?
Yes.
Okay. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next topic?
You know, we've had a whole lot of stuff in the media. If you're watching the news, you might have seen a lot of stuff with people unhappy with the president and saying that it's been a terrible year. But really, there's some good news. And I think we might have mentioned this coming out of last Thursday when we were last with you. But new numbers in. ISIS has lost 98% of their territory, almost all of it, on Trump's watch. So my understanding is that President Obama did not fire one single shot at ISIS in anger. And that all changed. President Trump kind of rewrote the rules of engagement, mm-hmm. let his generals loose, and ISIS now has no more caliphate.
Well, you even had the president of Iraq commenting on this. I saw this two or three weeks ago. He was saying basically it's a world of difference between the between President Obama, which had a hands-off sort of a, you know, tepid approach to ISIS, whereas President Trump is a bomb the blank out of them, is what he said during the campaign, and attack, and tried to destroy these people, talking about ISIS, and evidently they're getting close to doing this.
It's they're on the ropes. So they have a
who's
large
on the ropes? ISIS?
ISIS is okay. on the ropes.
And we're talking about over in Syria and Iraq.
Iraq.
Yeah.
So they have an online presence still, and they're still trying to recruit, trying to reclaim old glories, but I don't think it's going to work. One of the things that you say you don't know how to win a war on terror. You've heard that. How do you win a war against an ideology? At this point, the ideology is still out there, but a lot of the people that are trying to carry it out are gone.
Mm-hmm. Well, the ideology or ideology will be with us to the end of the world, most likely, because it's a part of fundamental Islamism, if that's what you want to call it, that this is what the Quran teaches for those people who believe it literally.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the reason you're going to forever have these kinds of Al-Qaeda 1 year, 5 years later it's going to be called ISIS.
Right.
5 years later from now we'll have some other group.
Right.
Yeah. The Taliban. I mean, that's going to always...
Boko Haram.
The significance of this is that ISIS no longer has a capital, and they no longer are able to operate from an organizational standpoint, they're no longer able to operate like they were.
Right.
And orchestrate attacks in foreign countries. So, yes, the ideology will be out there and probably will be out there forever, but ISIS has lost. I mean, they're in shambles.
Right.
And I don't want to say this won't happen again. You all, the government, hope if they're listening, stay vigilant, watch for it. But attacks like 9/11 take a lot of planning, a lot of coordination, training. You remember the pilots took airline training and everything. What we're seeing now is a whole lot more of these kind of guys that drive a truck down a crowded bike path like we saw in New York. And it's the one-off where they tell them, all right, jihadis, do your thing. Whatever it is you have in mind, you have our blessing. Those are deadly and those need to be addressed, but they're not the 9/11 kill 3,000 people at a time type attack, which I agree with you, Walker, we're probably moving farther away from.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do think that President Trump and his administration and the Pentagon do need to be congratulated for these efforts against ISIS and commended because they made great strides in defeating ISIS in Iraq and in Syria. As you're noting here, Steve, and I'm sure that the Democrats will gladly reach across the aisle here soon.
With congratulations.
With congratulations. And acknowledge the reality of that situation. Don't you think Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer will do that?
I think once they get done greeting the Tooth Fairy, that'll happen.
Okay. Okay, or petting their unicorn.
Yeah, they have to do those things first, and then they'll reach across the aisle.
Okay.
For sure.
Next up, Steve.
I don't know if you heard Todd Starnes over the break here, but he was talking, and this is something that's going on right now. The Southern Poverty Law Center, which you have heard, is tracking the hate over the Christmas season. And what they did is they went and took a poll of all of the Twitterverse and what people were tweeting and what they were hashtagging. So if someone hashtagged, I love white people or go Nazis, they would say that's a tweet that's evidence of hate. Mm-hmm. And so what they have on their list, of course, is defend Europe. They think that's a hate tweet. MAGA, which is Make America Great Again, that's a hate tweet. It's okay to be white. They say that's a hate tweet. So those are questionable. But you know what number 2 and 3 on the list of hate tweets, according to Southern Poverty Law? Merry Christmas and Christmas. Down the list a couple is Christmas Eve. And then if you hashtag the word Jesus, you're a white nationalist and a hater. And if you hashtag the word Merry Christmas Eve, that was also listed on their list of hate
You mean by
tweets.
The discredited Southern Poverty Law Center.
The completely discredited but yet still dangerous.
Yeah, they're based out of Montgomery, Alabama, but to them, anything Christian or conservative
it's hate.
Is hateful.
And that's even saying Merry Christmas.
Tell them, Steve, that's a fact. They register...
If you hashtag Merry Christmas or Christmas or Jesus or Christmas Eve or Merry Christmas Eve, you are apparently a hater.
You know, the only thing about
tracking you,
about
the
them broadening their hate standard, which is what they're doing there, virtually all Americans are haters, is who's going to give them money? You know, if anybody in this country likes Christmas, then they're haters.
Well, the Southern Poverty Law Center... they don't get money from rank and file Americans, like for instance we do.
Right.
You know, your mom and pops out there who write $25 a month checks because they believe in the mission of American Family Radio.
Yeah, good point.
They don't have those people. They get their money from
George Soros,
from George Soros, from Hollywood, mm-hmm. from New York liberals who perceive, especially white Christian America as the equivalent of the Third Reich.
Yeah.
So they have money, but don't write off the anger too quickly. Tom Steyer, a billionaire from California, was collecting signatures for a petition to impeach President Trump.
Right.
He wasn't clear on what grounds he had to do it, but impeach Trump. And he has 4 million signatures, which is enough that was more than the difference between the candidates between Clinton and Trump.
Yeah.
So and those people are willing to give too. So there's still a movement afoot to discredit the president, to take back the country for a progressive liberal agenda. And the Republicans will ignore that at their peril.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Check out our Today's Issues Facebook page. A lot of good stuff there that we're putting on, Orker's putting on about the program, and you can watch the show live there, listen to the show live there. Steve Jordahl is with us most weekdays from 11:05 to 11:30 Central Time here on American Family Radio. He's with the news department here at American Family Radio. And, Steve, what's next?
To your point that a lot of Americans see the liberal agenda as probably not very, at least they find it not economically beneficial, nearly 450,000 people, that's almost 500,000 people, have fled 3 deep blue states in 2017. So the states of New York, Illinois, and California lost people that were kind of fed up with the liberal leanings of their government, the massive taxes that they were going to have to pay, and all the other nonsense that goes on in some of these states we've talked about and covered, especially with California.
Mm-hmm.
So people are fleeing, and they're going to places like Texas, and they're going to places like other low...
Nevada,
maybe. I don't know who would...
Well, I'm talking about from California.
Right. I know that Texas is picking up an awful lot of them. Texas's governor, Rick Perry, back in the day, decided to have a recruiting trip to for businesses.
Right.
If you're tired of doing business under the restrictions that you have in under California government, come on over to Texas. We'll make you feel welcome.
Right.
A lot of businesses took him up on that.
Texas is business friendly.
Texas is business friendly. It's a red state, low taxes.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I wonder, Puerto Rico after the hurricane, I know you were talking about people moving.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people aren't talking about this, but several hundred thousand Puerto Ricans are in Florida now.
Yeah.
I guess until their homes are repaired.
And if they ever go back, who knows?
Yeah, but I'm not sure. Can they become a citizen of Florida?
I'm not. Well, you're a citizen of the United States.
Right,
you're
right.
Not a citizen. You're resident in states. And I think they already have American citizenship, being that they're in a territory.
I just know Puerto Rico, when they vote, it doesn't have the same weight.
No, they're
a territory.
They don't have voting rights for a president, do they?
No, I think we looked into that. I don't think they do.
Okay.
No, they don't have voting
rights.
They
have representation, somewhat representation.
But I'm wondering if...
I'm not sure if they have citizenship or not.
If somehow they become...
Pardon? Excuse me, I'm asking... go ahead, Walker.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I'm just wondering if somehow they become U.S. citizens of the traditional 50 states, that if... Because that will really sway the Florida vote in upcoming elections if you have... Even if you just have 50,000 or 100,000 people from Puerto Rico who end up just staying in Florida.
And how the Trump administration helps that country recover, because it's still trying desperately to recover, but it's locked in, it's an island, so it's surrounded by sea. It's hard to get help there.
Right.
I think we are helping.
We are doing a whole lot, but it's just slow to get going. I mean, they had the fiasco of the one little company out of...
Well, the island we're talking about, Puerto Rico, was basically decimated.
It was.
The infrastructure, the power grid, and all that was basically... And it already wasn't, you know, the highest quality. So it was decimated, and you're talking about money and years. And so all those people, a lot of the people who have left Puerto Rico because they just find it uninhabitable, basically, I guess, because of the reasons we've just mentioned. So they went to Florida. I don't know how all that works. I don't know. You can't just in mass make them all citizens of the U.S.
I'll come back with the information tomorrow whether they are already U.S. citizens because they live in the territory.
As I see it here, it says they are U.S. citizens. But in order to vote, they have to have residency in one of the 50 states.
Right.
Okay.
So it's a territory. I don't know how that works, but it's a territory of the U.S.
Right. Well, according to that, then they can move anywhere they want. It's not an immigration issue.
Right. Just don't have the right to vote for...
Until they establish...
Residency.
It's the same thing for any of us. If you wanted to go to Texas, no one's going to stop you from moving to Texas. But you can't vote there until you register in Texas and have an address in Texas.
So they would have a U.S. passport, Devin?
That's what I'm saying here.
Okay, well then that's the reason they're able to come, the Dominican.
Right. Come to Florida.
Come to Florida or wherever wherever they want to go, New York, wherever they want to go.
Establish residency there.
Right, they can stay probably as long as they want to because they're a U.S. citizen. They just can't vote.
Until they have an address, a residency. Yeah.
Once they're a resident there, they can.
Yeah.
Well, they have to get U.S. citizenship.
They have U.S. citizenship.
Well, there's some kind of difference between U.S. citizenship.
I'll clear it all up for you tomorrow.
Thank you, Steve.
And voting rights. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. Clear that up for us tomorrow.
I will. I'll have it.
Steve Jordahl from the land.
Welcome for the confusion.
from the land of fruits and nuts. We'll see you back here tomorrow, folks. Have a great day.